Deuteronomy chapter 29. We're going to begin reading at verse 22 of this chapter and then read through the end of the chapter. This is the section where Moses is speaking to Israel about the blessings and curses of obedience or disobedience to God. From Deuteronomy 29, beginning at 22, what we hear now is God's word. "And the next generation, your children who rise up after you, and the foreigner who comes from a far land, will say, when they see the afflictions of that land and the sicknesses with which the Lord has made it sick, the whole land burned out with brimstone and salt, nothing sown and nothing growing, where no plant can sprout and overthrow like that of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in His anger and wrath, all the nations will say, why has the Lord done thus to this land? What caused the heat of this great anger? Then people will say, it is because they abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which He made with them when He brought them out of the land of Egypt, and went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they had not known, and whom He had not allotted to them. Therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, bringing upon it all the curses written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger and fury and great wrath, and cast them into another land, as they are this day. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 61. Page 61 in the back section, Lord's Day 49. And I believe that by now we all have the same edition of the Psalter. For a couple of weeks there were a few different editions floating around, so we have not been reading these questions and answers responsibly. Now we will read it responsibly. I'll read the question and ask you to respond with the answer. From page 61, Lord's Day 49. Question 124, what does the third request mean? Well, this morning in our study of the Lord's Prayer, we come to that third petition, "Thy will be done." We're going to talk about the will of God. And sometimes I think that we use the will of God almost as an answer to anything we don't understand. Someone has a child who is sick and in the hospital and no particular reason is found, and we say to them, hopefully to comfort them, well, it must be God's will. Sometimes we use the will of God to refer to things we do not know. Who should I marry? What job should I take? What is God's will for my life? What direction should I go in? This morning we're going to talk about the prayer, "Thy will be done." How do we, as those who confess to be believers, pray this prayer? And what does it mean for us to pray, "Thy will be done"? Well, I think the first thing we have to recognize is we have to properly understand what the prayer is saying. And to know that, we have to properly understand what the will of God is. Children, God has two wills. God has what we call His secret will, also called His decretive will. That is, it has to do with God's eternal decrees. Therefore, His decretive will, His secret will. This would have to do with things like the decree of creation. That God, when He was existing eternally, simply for His own good pleasure, chose to create. Why? Because it was His secret will. We don't know exactly why, but God decreed it. And therefore, He created. God decreed the fall into sin. Now, we can discuss about how exactly that took place in an infralapsarian way or a superlapsarian way, but it's an eternal decree of God. God's decree of providence, that He will uphold and rule all things, is part of His secret and decretive will. This includes things like who is saved and who is not. How is it that in the same family, in the same household, one child grows up to believe and one child grows up to reject the gospel? That is a matter of God's secret will. We do not know why that happens. God's secret will has to do with events in our lives. We don't know for sure that we'll be back here this evening. Oh, we plan to come back, but something could happen between now and then. Whether or not we're going to be here and make it here on time and safely is a matter of God's secret, decretive will. That's one will of God. God also has His revealed will, sometimes called His preceptive will. That is, it has to do with His precepts, with the laws that He has given. God has His revealed preceptive will. And where is that will revealed? That will is revealed for us in the Word of God. We read this morning from Exodus chapter 20. Sometimes I read the law from Deuteronomy chapter 5. And often after reading the law, I will say, "This is God's holy will for your lives." You want to know what God's will is, what His revealed will is? We go to God's Word. That's where His will is revealed. It is revealed in the law. It's revealed in the historical books. It's revealed in the Psalms. We began the worship service today with Psalm 119. "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in His ways. You have commanded Your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping Your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all Your commandments. I will praise You with an upright heart when I learn Your righteous rules. I will keep Your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me." The preceptive will of God, revealed to us in the Psalms, revealed to us in the prophets. When the prophets spoke, they said, "Thus saith the Lord," and declared the will of God to His people. God's revealed will, His preceptive will, is given to us in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. All of it reveals God's will. The Gospels reveal the will of God. All the parts of all the Gospels reveal the will of God. I know sometimes you can buy a Bible, and in that Bible you will have the words of Jesus in red. Now, I have a Bible like that, but I've never really been in favor of those Bibles, because it gives us the impression, if you really want to know what the Bible says, just read the red stuff. That's the real will of God, and everything else just kind of fits around it. But in the Word inscripturated, the words of Jesus are just as authoritative as the words of Moses, as the words of Paul, as the words of Peter, as the words of John. It is all the revealed will of God in the Gospels, in the Epistles, in the Revelation. God's revealed will given to us in 66 books in the canon of Scripture. We have God's secret will and God's revealed will. Now, when we pray, "Thy will be done," which will are we praying for? I would suggest that we are not praying with regard to God's secret will. God's secret will be done.
no matter what. It is God's secret decretive will. It is those things that He has determined to accomplish. They will be done. He needs no prayer that that happen. Thy will be done does not refer to the decrees of God. But thy will be done refers to the revealed will of God. We pray that those things revealed to us in Scripture might take root in our hearts and in our lives. That is our prayer. Thy will, thy revealed will, thy declared path of righteousness be done more and more in me. Not a prayer for God's decretive will. Not a prayer for His secret will. But a prayer regarding His revealed will. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. And so when we pray, thy will be done, we are not asking for some special knowledge of God's secret will. We're not asking that He reveal to us some special insight into His eternal decrees. And yet so often I think that's what we're trying to do. We try to discern the will of God. We look for special knowledge of that decretive will. And we can do that in a variety of ways. Sometimes we say, I'll know that I am doing the will of God if God chooses to bless me. If I am blessed, I must be doing God's will. Now, to be sure, when we follow the will of God revealed to us in Scripture, there is a blessing that comes along with that. But simply because we're blessed or because someone is blessed, we may not assume that they are automatically living according to the will of God. What does Psalm 73 say? Psalm 73 describes the righteous and describes the wicked. And this is the description of the wicked. They have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily, they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue struts through the earth. Therefore, His people turn back to them and find no fault in them. And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked. Always at ease, they increase in riches. The wicked. Always at ease, they increase in riches. No, blessing is not the way to determine if we are doing the will of God. As I said, when we do the will of God, there is a blessing that accompanies that. But simply seeing someone who is blessed, we may not assume that they somehow have a special understanding or a special knowledge of God's will. Blessing is no guarantee that we are doing God's will. Sometimes we say, when we have to make a decision about what to do for the future, I want to know what God's will is and do God's will. Well, if I have peace with a decision I've made, that must be God's will. And we use peace as the determiner of whether or not this particular action will be the will of God. And while there is a sense of peace when we do the revealed will, simply having peace is no guarantee. You know who has peace? The wicked have peace. The wicked don't care about God's holy precepts. The wicked don't care about whether or not they're keeping God's law. The wicked are at complete peace with that. They're not troubled. They're not bothered. And you see, we can deceive ourselves and make peace even with our sin. When we are considering an action for the future, and we know that it's against the revealed will of God, and yet the more we think about it, the more we roll it over in our mind, the more we rationalize it, we can become at peace with that sin. If necessary, we can make peace with the devil if we want the thing bad enough. Peace is no guarantee that we are doing the will of God. Peace is no guarantee that we are walking according to the revealed will. No, our prayer is not for some special knowledge, some indicator that we have found the will of God. Sometimes we don't use blessing or use peace. We use providence to determine the will of God. And we say, you know, if God hadn't put me in this particular situation at this time, then this thing wouldn't have happened. But I am here, and it is now, and so this must be God's will for me. He, in His providence, has orchestrated things in such a way that I'm here right now. It must be God's will that I do this. And we look for the will of God in providence. Well, what then? What then would you say to David? When David was being pursued by Saul, and Saul was out to take his life, and yet in God's providence, Saul is in a cave and David is able to sneak up so close to him that he can cut the hem off his garment. Wouldn't you say to David, look at the providence. This man is trying to kill you. He's hunting you down. In God's providence, take his life now. It must be God's will. What did David say? David said, far be it from me to strike the Lord's anointed. He knew the revealed will of God, that Saul was anointed to be king. And even though providence put Saul into his hands, David says, far be it from me to strike the anointed of the Lord. We don't try to read God's will in providence. What would you say to David when he happens to see Bathsheba? She happens to be there at a particular time. He happens to be there at a particular time. In God's providence, he sees her. Is it God's will that he sin with her? Of course not. We don't read the will of God in providence. We don't know that we're doing God's will because certain things happen in our lives. Oh, there's another thing we do. We like to try to read God's will in signs that he gives us. Or sometimes we use the term, following the story of Gideon, putting out fleece for God. If God wants me to do a certain thing, then some other thing will happen. And if that other thing happens, I know it's God's will that I do this. Seminarians often do this. Men considering going into the ministry. And they will say, you know what? I'll know it's God's will that I become a minister if I can pass summer Greek. How many times haven't we heard that? Huh? If I can pass summer Greek, I'll know it's God's will. I become a minister. And we put this test out before God. Sometimes we say, you know what? I'm considering a job change. And I'll know it's God's will that I take this new job if they offer me this particular salary. If they offer this salary, then I know it's God's will. God, if you want me to take this job and they offer this salary, I will take it. It'll be your will. And we look for signs to find the will of God. Sometimes we're considering asking a girl out on a date. We want to have a date with Sally. And so we say to God, I'm going to call up Sally. And if she answers the phone on the third ring, I'll know it's your will that I ask her out. We put signs out to try to divine the will of God. But the problem with that is signs are so hard to read. Signs are so difficult to understand properly. Suppose you are that young man who wants to go into seminary. And you say to God, if I pass summer Greek, it is your will I become a minister. And so you go and you take summer Greek. And you end up with a D-. Now, what is God's will? He wants you to be a minister, just not a very good one. You know, how do we read God's will in that sign? We go for that job interview and we have said, God, if they offer this particular salary, it will be your will that I take the job. And they come and they offer a salary just a little bit lower, but they say, we promise you in 2 years an increase that'll put it above the mark. How do we read God's will? That sign is kind of unclear now because it's below the number, but it'll be above the number. We pick up the phone to call Sally. And we dial her number. And the phone rings once and twice and three times. And the phone is answered. And it's her twin sister, Susie. What is God's will? Signs are so hard to read. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. We are not praying for special knowledge. We are not praying that God in some way reveal His secret will to us, either through blessing or through peace or through providence or through signs or even through the moving of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we say that. The Spirit has moved me to do this. I know this must be God's will. Because I feel the Spirit moving me. Well, I guess I'd ask the question, how do you know it is the Spirit of God moving you? And not some other spirit. Recall the story of the kings who were going to go to war. And they're going to go up and fight a battle, and they sought the counsel of all the prophets. And all the prophets said, oh, kings, go up, and you will be victorious. And one king says, but can't we find the prophet of the Lord who will give us the answer? Can't we find the prophet of the Lord who will speak to us? And the other king says, oh, no, this man never says anything good about me. I don't want to even talk with him. Oh, no, let's find one prophet of the Lord to talk to. And in 1 Kings chapter 22, we read about that account, and in verse 17 it says, the prophet finally speaks, and he says, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his home in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me but evil? And Micaiah the prophet said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on His throne and all the host of heaven standing beside Him on His right hand and on His left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said one thing and another something else. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord, saying, I will entice him. And the Lord said to him, by what means? And he said, I will go out and will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, you are to entice him and you will succeed. Go out and do so. And therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets. The Lord declared disaster for you. How do we know that spirit moving us is the Spirit of God? The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Thy will be done is not a prayer for secret knowledge. It is not a prayer for a glimpse into the eternal decrees of God. But notice the prayer, Thy will be done. It is not a prayer to know God's will. In fact, nowhere in Scripture are we told that we are to discern the will of God. That doesn't show up anywhere. We are called to do God's revealed will. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. It is a prayer that we be obedient, not to some secret will out there, but to God's revealed will, to His preceptive will, to those things He has told us ever so clearly in Scripture. That's the prayer. Thy will be done means help us and all men to reject our own wills and to obey Your will. Not know Your will, not find Your will, obey Your will. Without any back talk, Your will alone is good. God in His Word has given us all the will that we need. And you say, but the Bible doesn't answer all our questions. It doesn't give us all the answers. It doesn't tell me what job to take. It doesn't tell me who to marry. The Bible gives us all the will of God that we need. And all the precepts and all the laws and all the instructions that we need to live are clearly given. What does 2 Timothy say? The Word of God is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be partially equipped, somewhat equipped, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. There is no more will of God that we need to know than that which has been revealed in Scripture. So how do we go about praying this prayer, Thy will be done, in terms of the decisions we're called to make? It is not a prayer for God's secret will. He revealed His will to us in that way. How do we do God's will with respect to things like the job we take or the person we marry or other decisions like that? How do we make godly decisions in accordance with the revealed will of God? Well, I guess when we're considering a decision, the first thing we have to ask ourselves, if we're going to be obedient, am I right now living within the revealed will of God? Now, what is God's revealed will? His revealed will is that we acknowledge Him as our God, as our Lord, as our Savior. Have we right now submitted to Jesus Christ? Have we right now acknowledged His authority? Have we right now confessed our sins before Him and seek to live for Him, knowing He's cleansed us? Am I right now living in the revealed will of God? Because if that's not the case, none of the other stuff matters. Am I right now submitting to God's revealed will, that I confess, that I repent, that I seek my life only in Jesus Christ and not in myself? That's the first question we have to ask. Am I right now living according to God's revealed will? Then, thinking about what decisions we have to make, what the future might hold, the question we would ask is, to be obedient, is there any sin involved in this choice? If I have a decision on a job to take, And I look at the job, and I don't throw out fleece about numbers and things like that, but I evaluate the job, and it looks really good. And I talk with the employer, and he says, well, of course you'll have to work every Lord's Day. If the job is going to force me to not honor God's day and keep it holy, this is not God's will for me, because it violates His revealed will. We don't have to look for God's secret will. Is there any sin involved in this choice that would violate the will we already know, the will that we can read? And if there is, then the path of obedience is not that way. Young people, if you're considering marrying someone and that person is an unbeliever, and you come to me and you say, Reverend Niemeyer, I want to know if it's God's will that I marry this person. Well, I can tell you very clearly. I can tell you what the will of God is. It is His will that you not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. There's no confusion about that. There's nothing to discuss, nothing to debate. We may not be unequally yoked. It would involve sin on your part, and therefore it would not be the way of obedience. We don't have to wonder if it's God's will. Maybe I determine I am living in God's revealed will now and there is no sin involved. Then I guess the question I would ask next is, where can I be of most service to God and His kingdom? Not, where can I find the easiest life and make the most money? That's not the next question we ask. But where can I be of most service to God and to His kingdom? And that might impact my family. Where can they be of most service to God and to His kingdom? That we might walk in the way of obedience to God's revealed will. And if having asked those questions, am I now in God's will? Is there any sin involved? Where can I be of most service? And I find out I have two equally good choices. Then I need to give up the idea that one is right and one is wrong. We are free to choose either one. We don't have to divine God's secret will as if this one will be correct and this one will be incorrect. God has given us choice. He has given us freedom. He says, now do what you think is best. You have sought to follow my revealed will, and now it's up to you. Don't divine my secret will. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children that we may do the words of this law. Don't look for one right secret answer. But having carefully sought to follow God's revealed will, go forth boldly. Maybe along the way, we'll look for godly help. Those godly advisors who will help us to properly apply His word to us. Not asking them to speak the will of God to us, some secret will. But asking them to help us see clearly the revealed will, to help us to apply it to our lives, to our families, to our situations. And then having sought to do what God's revealed will calls, feel free to go forward. The song that comes to mind, one of my favorite songs. Sorry, it's not in the Psalter hymnal. The song that comes to mind, Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. To do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust the revealed will of God, and be obedient. Thy will be done. Help everyone carry out the work he is called to as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Not a prayer for secret will, not a prayer for God's decreed of will, but a prayer for our obedience to the revealed will He has given to us. Not a prayer for discernment, a prayer for action. Not to discern the secret things which belong to God alone, but that we might go forward, trust and obey. These things revealed belong to us. They belong to our children, that we may do the words of the law. May God help us to obey the will revealed in Scripture. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, truly You are beyond our comprehension. When we think about Your decretive will, the decrees of creation and fall and redemption,
the decrees of election and reprobation. These are matters beyond us, O God. How could we begin to think we could understand your secret will? Oh, no, Lord God, but help us to do your will. You have chosen to reveal yourself to us clearly and sufficiently in all of your holy word. Oh, Lord, make us good students of that word, careful students of your will, that we might walk in the ways of obedience, never hearing the curses found in Deuteronomy, the curses of being overthrown, but the blessings of walking, knowing that we are trusting you and obeying that which you have clearly spoken to us. O Lord, today and every day, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.